Duke de Cessa, the leader, approaching the corner of the 450, three quarters of a length in front of Pericles, trying to hunt it down. Two lengths to Bois d'Argent. Buckaroo, the widest, is starting to really wind up, and behind those is Knight's Choice. Plaster Carousel is starting to run on in between horses, but Pericles went to the front. 250 out, grabbed by Buckaroo. Buckaroo takes the lead, draws two lengths in front of Pericles. We tore from the back. It's all Buckaroo. Buckaroo storms away. A one-act affair. Buckaroo won it well. We tore second. Pericles third. Photo fourth.
G'day punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. We are reviewing Underwood Stakes Day. That was the only Group 1 run in Australia on the weekend. It was taken out by the magic man, Joe Moreira, aboard Buckaroo. And I want to claim that I was the one who gave him the pep talk the night before at Crown Metropole. I twisted his arm for a photo, gave him a few tips on how to ride a horse, and he magically saluted in the Group 1 the next day.
Yeah, it's not on the first race.
Well, Quantum Cat was the one I had a much better result on rather than Buckaroo. But anyway, Joe, he fits straight into the jockey's room, didn't he? I know the Quantum Cat probably didn't work out well for him, but his other rides were really good.
Yeah, they got him in the first race, but and he probably got a little bit too far back on the filly in the fourth race. But you know, yeah, he is a world class rider, so he's gonna fit in wherever he goes, anywhere in the world.
Yeah, I think the first thing he commented on when we saw him on Friday night was, "What is this weather?" When it was bucketing down on Friday night. So that's a big welcome to Melbourne, Joe. And then in the first race, he got a second welcome to Melbourne with the jockeys not wanting to let him out. Happy Brownlow night to those who celebrate. I'm hoping Cripps takes home the medal tonight, but who knows? It might be Dacos that gets him. It might even be Lockie Neal. We know he's very popular with the umpires as well. Dave Funt has just done the ratings for both Caulfield and Randwick, so we thank him very much for doing that. But I don't know if you've had a good chance to look at it. Are you happy just to rip straight in?
Yes.
All right. I'm on the clock here because I'm racing to get back to a friend's house for the Brownlow. It's a tradition every year. Let's go straight to Caulfield then. The rail was out 6 metres. What did you make of how the surface played? Because no doubt as the day went on, it was clearly advantageous to be off the rail.
Yeah, it was definitely an advantage to be well off the rail pretty much throughout the entire meeting. You wanted to be getting out to those wider lanes throughout the day, even from the first race. You know, they were edging off the inside part of the track. You know, so I don't know. We'll get to Jimmy Starr, but he found the fast lane and he rocketed down the outside. So it was off fence at Caulfield on Saturday.
Yeah. The first race we want to have a look at is race 4. That was the Jim Maloney Stakes. It was, of course, taken out by Lilac with a Sydney 1-2. Lilac won the Leashy Boulevard coming out of the same race. Mark Zara has got this very, very right, run to a rating of 92.5. As I said, the Leashy Boulevard runs second. They both came out of the Private Life race. He ran well in the Guineas Prelude. So a nice tie-in of the form there. Two Darn Lizzie wasn't too bad, and Silmarillion was the big disappointment. Big question marks on her at 1,400 metres and beyond now, I would have thought.
Yeah, so they've gone quite slow here, which has made, you know, the ride won the race on Lilac. He just sort of got her out into the perfect position, just sort of not necessarily outside lead, but maybe half a length to three quarters of a length behind the leader, Two Darn Lizzie, and at the corner, he sort of put the pressure on and sprinted hard enough to hold off the closer, which was Delici Boulevard, who was sort of held up around the turn and had to angle off and go around them and finished off six above for the last 400 metres for the class. So, you know, I probably think Delici Boulevard should have won the race. It would have been a better result, but
we've started this podcast off with a lot of self-interest.
Oh mate, there was so much self-interest. It was such a frustrating day on Saturday because like I should have won an absolute, anyway, we move on. Lilac was good. You know, this race hasn't gone particularly well. You, I, they've got upside, I guess, because, well, Delishi Boulevard does particularly because she's only second up here. She's lightly raced and she can continue to go through the grades, but, you know, to what extent, I'm not sure. Like, this is only rated 92.5, I think it was 92.5, the winner. And Delishi Boulevard, you know, if it probably gets to 92.8 to 93, if it, you know, it gets out its races run efficiently, I guess. So, you know, this isn't the top A grade fillies, but the fillies aren't world beaters this spring. We'll get to the other good fillies in Sydney, but, you know, they're not anything special. So these could make they could be towards the top of the market in 1,000 guineas if they continue to race on. So
I was about to say that the 1,000 guineas is probably going to be the B race, whereas the flight stakes, you know, featuring Autumn Glow, you know, Manal, Lady Shenandoah, those horses, that's probably the A form.
So I
still think if they can keep these horses up till 1,000 guineas time, which is still a long way away, that's a big query, but if they can, then yeah, that's probably their type of race.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to race 5, which was the Testarossa. As we said on the podcast on the Thursday night, Craig was going to come out and Hit a Shock were both going to come out. So that meant Another Wheel has started a very, very short price favorite. He's drawn barrier 1. There were a few hairy moments at the top of the straight with Jamie Carr squeezed for a room. Blake Shin has got 10 meetings for the ride on Run Harry Run by laying in and letting, well, he purposely did it. He tried to block the run and the run was already there. So Another Wheel's gone to 98.1. He's beaten Whistler last, but clearly with better circumstances, he can go better than that in the Toorak, I would have thought.
Yeah, I don't know if he purposely did it. Like, I sort of thought he just rolled back in. I don't know. It looked like he was very surprised that there was a horse, you know, in that sort of vision, but I don't know.
I reckon he was acting surprised. But yeah. He probably didn't think that Another Wheel was as close as what he was. I think he thought that he'd be able to shut the door, but I don't know. I think guilty and right decision made in the end.
Yeah, he definitely guilty, regardless of whether he meant it or not. Still reckless riding, shifting into the rail like that. So he's pretty much he's run the same rating as what he did last time effectively, but you know, last start he did it with massive sectionals and this time he did it being poleaxed at about the 300 metres. So there's still a lot of upside with him. There's, you know, I wouldn't be worried. He's still, if anything, he's strengthened his credentials as Toorak favourite. But Light Infantry Man was well backed. He was the go throughout the well, at least on the day. Another Wheel was firm. There was nothing really to report from this race. I think everyone was in agreement that Another Wheel was going to win this race, but how short could you possibly get it? I don't know. Wish La Lass was good. She's sort of somewhere back near her best because last preparation she was quite disappointing. She didn't come up.
She'll improve as well up to 1,600 metres with fitness.
Yeah, so if she gets back to somewhere near her best, which is, you know, around that sort of almost like 99 sort of level, that could be, that puts her in the, not necessarily winning it, but it puts her in the picture for a for an Empire Rose, like what she started sort of $15 in last year's race up on speed. So it's good to see her back because she was below par last prep. Run Harry Run, I thought, was benefited by being up on speed. And Light Infantry was backed and he didn't do anything. So that could be the end of him. He might just not have, you know, he might be done for forever now. So I think
send
he probably
him back, man.
Yeah, pretty much.
Buffalo River, what, like the wheels have fallen off there as well. He didn't really have much early speed. Celine tried to get up OSL and he's another one who's just completely lost a leg.
Yeah, well, he's pretty much run the same rating 3 starts in a row now. So, and they're not good enough to be, you know, in the races that he used to contest. So, I don't think anyone's going to try and back him. But it's pretty much winner only and wish or last, depending on which way she goes to in this race. I pretty much forget the rest of them.
Yeah. I cannot believe that it was only in the autumn that Buffalo River was beaten ahead by Mr. Brightside and Pride of Jenny. When you look at his form of this prep, he's gone. Wish Little Lass, a race like an Empire Rose or maybe something a little bit easier than that is probably ideal.
Well, they have that race on Cox Plate Day that she won last, the Tezio on Cox Plate Day. She won that last year.
Is it the Tezio or is it the Yeah,
it's the Tezio.
Yeah, the Phillies Classic is the three-year-old race. Yep.
She won that last year, and I imagine that they'll target that again, and that's a good race for her.
Yep. What beats another Will in the Toorak quickly?
I couldn't tell you. Like, Craig went really well, but I don't think he could probably beat him. What else is going?
He had a shock, won the Cameron Handicap?
Nah, he'd take care of him easily. And he did last start at Caulfield.
Yeah, he did. I don't know. I don't know what the up-and-coming flyer is, but Craig actually needs to win. Oh, what about Desert Lightning? He was pretty good first up.
Yeah, but, you know, I know they will take care. Maybe like you get those sort of weight for age horses taking back a grade. You know, if Pinstripe's okay, because I heard he was lame last time in the Makoba Depot. If he bounces back and if they want to take him to the Toorak, he's competitive. Attrition, you know, he won it last year, but I think another will. You couldn't back the price now, but he's a deserving favourite for the Toorak, and he'd have to be sort of he's a better favourite than what Amelia's Jewel was last year anyway, I think.
Yep. Bit of $8 at the 6 day. Make sure you download the app and sign up. Let's go to race 6. Was the Tour de Horse Sprint taken out by Jimmy Starr? And, well, but didn't we get this one wrong? Jimmy Starr drifted, so the market was sort of with us, but he has let down with an electrifying sprint, running the fastest late sectionals of the entire day off a even tempo. Ashford Street did get its own way up in front and looked like it was going to just win. But Jimmy Starr, he's absolutely back and he's only going to be better over 1,400 metres. Runs to 98 here. What'd you make of the performance?
Yeah, it was a lot. Not elite, but it was great to watch because, you know, it looked like Ashford Street was falling in a hole, and I guess he sort of was, but he got away with a relatively soft sort of early section, and he clipped it up between the 8 and the 4 and created that separation and was fit enough to sustain it to the, you know, to sustain that sort of gallop. You know, he finished 2 below from the 4 to the post, but yeah, Jimmy Starr, I think maybe you see this sometimes, they just need a reset. Sometimes I think, and like he was really good first up, and then last preparation, and that wasn't really first up. It sort of was. It was 70 days, but you spend if they're off 70 days, they're probably in the paddock for like a week, and they're back in training. So, you know, I think he might have just needed a reset after that run or whatever. Might have had a couple issues. I've got no idea. They've taken him first up, and he's, you know, the section he's run, he's gone massive. He'll only improve at 14, and he's sort of he's back in sort of discussions for, you know, those big races, I guess. Like,
you know what, this is the Rupert Clark horse.
Yeah, that's a great call. Yeah, the Rupert Clark is a great race for him, and that's a fucking great call, actually. That he
I'm going to jump on and see if he's in betting. But, yeah, because obviously the with the date change of the Rupert Clark to the 16th of November, 1,400 metres, he's going to be well-weighted, low in the handicaps. And if he can find his way into that race, then, it looks a perfect race for him.
Yeah, Ray Magnerio was good first up as well. Commemorative just got a little bit too far back and was okay, but, you know, third up. Maybe down the straight, I think, could be effective. Just that little bit closer. The Inferno was a little bit disappointing. Carrying 60.5 first up, maybe that sort of made a difference toward it. But
time to give up on him, mate.
Nah, never. I'll get money out of him one day.
That it? Happy?
Yeah.
All right, beautiful. Let's move on to race 7. It was the MRC Foundation Cup. Positivity has been a little bit too tough for them here. This horse was raced against Rise at Dawn and co last start in that bunch finish, and I don't think too many people would have found it here. They've gone at a fast tempo, and really she's just outstayed them with a bit of fitness under the belt. Future History runs well in second, Gear Up in third. Run to a rating of 97.2. So by no means does this look your Caulfield Cup form line, but Positivity does make her way into the race as the winner you're in if Andrew Forsman wants to go that way.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, yeah, it's not the Caulfield Cup form line. And I think lots of people wanted to oppose the race that they came out of, the Heatherly, because that sort of was slow, so slowly run. But this race was weird again. Like, so to the 800 metres, it was sort of slightly below average. And then between the 8 and the 4, or like they just took off, and it made it essentially like almost impossible for the back markers to get into it. So really they took off between the 12, from the 12 to about the 4 was where the race was won and run. And because they were so strung out from the back of the field, it made it almost impossible for the back markers to, you know, sustain that much of a long sprint. So the horses up on speed were heavily suited, and you know, you saw that in the finish. Positivity, Future History, Gear Up, St. George were all up there. You know, so it was sickening because I backed Future History, and I thought it was fucking home. Oh my God, Saturday was so frustrating.
Did you end up backing Lilac or just Delicia Boulevard? I'm pretty sure we both tipped Lilac on the pod.
I said I was going to back it at like $5.56, and I sort of, it was firm, and I just backed Delishy Boulevard, who was also firm in that race.
Sick.
I know. Positivity. The race for it is the, we're talking about it last week. What's the race called on Stakes Day? The Phillies race over 2,000 meters. What's it called? The one that
the Matriarch.
That's it, yeah, Matriarch. It's a perfect Matriarch horse, and it should go there and win it. It's not going to win the Caulfield Cup, but...
Is it fast enough to win a Matriarch, or does it want further now?
No, I reckon it's fast enough. It's a good horse.
Yeah, fair enough.
St. George, just sort of okay, looking for further, but...
He's got no turn of foot.
Well, I don't know. It's not a... You know, people, like, it was unlucky last time, and people wanted to howl at the Melbourne Cup. It gets 50 in the Melbourne Cups, and sure, but you know, it's just not good enough to win a cup, I don't think.
What about the horse that I backed? Yeah,
we backed Immediacy. 8.50 into what price did it jump? It was, I think it started like $3 Betfair. No, it was shorter Betfair.
Fuck, wow.
I'm pretty sure it was like, where is it?
330 tab.
310 Betfair. So someone has completely unloaded into it. It started 310 Betfair. That's the market. So the market's pretty much priced it off that Rose Hill Guineas run. And I completely thought it would have been forward, but for whatever reason, I don't know if it didn't jump, missed the start or something, but it was just way too far back and just, you know, had to sustain that long run and just wasn't able to. I thought the run was fine. Like the beaten margin doesn't reflect the performance, but you know, it wasn't great. Like it's finished alongside Le Don de Vie.
I thought he was fair.
Yeah, he was only fair. And the horse I just wanted to highlight quickly was Francesco Guardi, who, you know, this is a horse that can, like, he was favorite for a cup and a Caulfield Cup at one point in his career. He's had a couple issues. He's run the rust off. He was pretty bad first up, just okay second up, and he was quite good here. So, you know, they might not be going to necessarily a Caulfield Cup. I think they probably go to the Turnbull next, and we'll see him. I think he could make some sort of appeal in a Turnbull next time. And then that'll be the turning point for him, whether they go to the Caulfield Cup and whether he'll be competitive or not. So I just want to highlight Francesco Guardi because I think he could be relevant in the spring.
just a word of warning before you do go placing bets on horses like Francesco Guardi and Caulfield Cups, you want to go look at the order of entry after the ratings have been updated from the weekend and just see where they're at, because I think he was in the mid-50s. So,
well, don't back him. I'm just I'm not telling people to back him. But
yeah, well, like, I'm pretty sure you know, a few punters have sort of been given that as a tip, Francesco Guarini and Caulfield Cup. So well, just be cautious.
I'm not giving out future tips. That's Ben's job, not mine.
Yeah, that's my job. Speaking of, let's go to race 8, the Underwood Stakes. We're able to have a bet on Buckaroo here at $11 at the sixth day. He's been able to win the race with Joe Moreira on board. Punting form has got this going a very, very fast tempo. I'm not sure what Form King says, but I'm still using punting form for my sectionals. Leader's gone 7.5 faster than the class, which was Duke Decessa. He's tried to really turn this into a staying contest. And Buckaroo, out of the Chelmsford win, he's really elevated here. He's run a rating of 103.1. He's put 3.5 lengths on Hueto with Pericles in third.
Yeah, the market didn't like him here. Again, he was $10.50 Betfair. They smashed the favorite place to carousel. It was really well backed. Duke Assessor was firm, Deny Knowledge was firm. I didn't even get to back either horse in that race because I was planning on backing both of them. I ended up backing Hoetor, who was a big run, but obviously I didn't back it to place. So that doesn't matter. Pericles was soft in betting. He was a lot softer than I thought he would have been. Maybe he just didn't run the 18. I don't know. I really don't know with him. He was off his form, but not to the point where it's concerning. He was just sort of plain. So maybe he doesn't get a strongly run 18. But like it's an extra 200 meters from 16. So
I don't know. It was a fast run race. I don't think he really saw it out.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, they have gone really quick here, and Buckaroo. You know, he's almost probably got to be favourite for the Caulfield Cup now. You'd almost have to say.
Do they definitely go there, though? Or do they go to a Might and Power and then go Cox Plate? I'm not sure. He's got nominations for pretty much every major. He did run at 2,400 metres in a Tancred and wasn't beaten far. It was just an even run. But he's been gelded this preparation, so maybe the balls have dropped and the penny has dropped as well.
He's definitely improved. This is as good as he's ever gone. Like even from his UK form, this is a really good number. So you know it might have him competitive in those weight for age races, but I wouldn't back him against the top liners. I think he'd run a mile and a half, and I really think they should put him in the Caulfield Cup because I don't know what weight he'd get in that, but. What do you think? Like 56 or something?
No, he's got less than that.
Oh, less than that.
You keep talking, and I'll check the order of entry right now.
Right. Well,
It is worth noting, punters, you can't get penalised for the Melbourne and Caulfield Cups by winning a weight for age race, only a handicap. So here we go. Buckaroo has 54.5 kilos in the Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, they have to run him in a Caulfield Cup. They have to, because he has to be favourite off this.
Wow! Is Joe Stick?
You'd think so. They have to run him. If they don't run him in the Caulfield Cup, he was so strong here. The favourite for the Caulfield Cup is Warmonger. Like he was good last time, but he was just
no. That's a joke.
Like, yeah, I don't have a massive like people. I don't know how
people are still holding on to that rating that Warmonger ran in Queensland, and it's just not real. It's fake.
I mean, it was only two starts ago, but like the margin is not real. The rating might be real, but the margin's not. And
Even Faulkner Park's Q22 win, like, is that real? Not sure.
Well,
he was in the inferior ground, but still,
he was still pretty bad. And he's not very tactically versatile. Like he was always going to be slow from that inside barrier. So, and there's no internationals for the Caulfield Cup this year. So, yeah, Buckaroo has to be favourite for the Caulfield Cup off this. I hope they go that way because, you know, you could get him quite short off this rating of 54 kilos.
Yep. Place to Carousel, she pulled a shoe before the race. She was backed into favorite, $3.80 SP and $4.40 BSP. That's Betfair starting price, so a little bit longer, which is the norm. She pulled a shoe pre-race and got really fizzy. So I'm sort of happy to put this down as one forgive run.
Yeah, and I heard that Mark Zara said she had like some respiratory noises after the race as well. So they put a tongue tie on her for next start and her training. I read that.
Yeah.
Work.
Hueto is obviously a big, no one's going to miss its run, but it always improves into the preparation as well. So I think it's going to be competitive in most races. It goes to 2,000 meters.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we missed the opportunity. It's not going to be the same odds as, if I'm going to back Hueto, I want to back him at least 40 to 1 plus.
You'll get 40 to 1 on the Turnbull.
Maybe. Yeah, and that could probably get me, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right, happy to move on?
Yes.
Let's go to the Caulfield Guineas Prelude, where Angel Capital was able to record back-to-back wins after a slashing win in the Mackenzie. He's followed it up here with it was a bit more tradesman-like, but he had to do a bit more work. He had to push his way through a gap along the inside, which probably wasn't the place to go. He's come off an even tempo, recorded a rating of 96.4. So while this is still the B Brigade, in terms of we're talking Caulfield Guineas, I thought it was a good win and he couldn't have done too much more.
Yeah, he's run the same rating as what he did last time. But I thought that was, you know, he was held up slightly and he had to go back into the inferior ground. I think he'll really improve at a mile and, you know, he might be a long way off what the best sort of Sydney 3-year-olds are doing. I still think, you know, you put him in a high-pressure race over a mile in the Caulfield Guineas and, you know, I think he'll be the one to really take a step forward. Like, I'm really confident this is a good horse, even if he hasn't run, like, put that big rating down yet. Public attention was good. He bounced back. Wanarua, again, ran his rating. I was surprised how firm he was in the market. Feroce is a horse I hope they drop back in class with. Maybe the Carbine Club. Maybe that's just that slight... if they back up in the he's probably not even noms. I haven't checked the noms, but the Stud Stakes or Stock Stakes, whatever it's called, would have been a good race for it on the backup. But you know, he's got a nice race in him. Private Life.
They've got that Detroit City from the same stable in that race. Yeah. So okay. That's why they wouldn't be backing it up.
Feroce is a horse I want to back in lower grade and
There's the Carbine Club and there's also the Sandown Guineas, which is probably that B, C grade, 3-year-old race.
Yeah, Sandown Guineas is a perfect race for it.
Yeah. So you're saying Angel Capital, fast run mile, can elevate and give the Sydney siders something to think about?
Well, I mean, they're going to be heavily favoured to beat him. But, like, you know, if he's 20 to 1, which I'd probably doubt he would be, but...
He'll be, you know, 11 to 15, I reckon.
Yeah. Like, I could easily see him spiking and worrying the sort of top colts, but I have a good opinion of him. I've always had a good opinion of him, but, you know, I think he's better than what he's actually done, and that's a little bit exciting. I was really surprised how soft he was in the market. He started 650 Betfair. Like, I just did not see that coming. I thought he was going to be quite firm, but...
yeah, this is a miss by me. Was the market potentially taking him on from a map perspective, given he's drawn three, he's a get-back run-on horse, and they knew he might have been in the inferior going?
Maybe. Well, I would say that maybe it was because that they wanted to take on horses drawn inside, but they also backed Wanarua, and they also launched into a little deep in the last race.
Yeah,
But, yeah, I don't know why it was so soft. Maybe they just didn't have the Mooney Valley race going as well as what Form King does, but
I know you're not a believer in this, but is there anything in the fact that he did it first up in his first preparation and then he sort of petered out a little bit?
Well, I mean, that's only like that's the smallest possible sample size ever. So it's just not a thing. And like if you,
yeah.
It's like if you're forcing things if you think that way.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, that was certainly a miss by me. A little deep in the last, I think I got $6 for it. It ended up starting half that quote and was beaten by Kundalini off a maiden win.
Oh, Kundalini. Oh, fuck.
Just in the wrong part of the track.
I felt like I bet so well on Saturday and I've only had one. Broke even and I was up
because I had a few good results in Sydney, but immediacy going down, halving in quote from $7, it's the price that we took, and a little deep halving in quote from $6, that was a little bit hard to take. But that's the game, isn't it?
That's tough. Anyway,
all right, Sydney. Let's get over to Sydney Royal Randwick. You know why they call it Royal?
The Queen like gave it like a thing. I don't know.
Yeah. That's correct. I don't think a lot of people would actually know that, but it's because the Queen actually visited there one day and now all of a sudden Royal Randwick. Yeah, exactly right. What'd you make of the track? It was railed true. I thought it played pretty well.
Yeah. I didn't watch a whole lot of races in Sydney, but like I've had a look at through the card and maybe it was a little bit difficult to loop them. A lot of horses sort of were inside and you know, even if they did come from a while back, they were just sort of shooting up the inside. But I wouldn't have my life on that opinion because I'm not as well versed in Sydney racing as some of the people, but you know.
I thought it was pretty good. Like maybe a tiny bit hard to make ground. We saw Fangirl do it, but she was obviously just better than that lot.
A shit ton better.
I thought it was pretty good. They did a decent job given, I don't know, these Sydney tracks do look a bit tired. They're getting a fair bit of kickback and dust come up as the horses are running, which is a little bit concerning given we are early on in the spring and there's a lot of rain to come, but I thought they did a good job for the most part. So let's go straight to race 5, which was the Kingston Town Stakes. This was taken out by Alias, has gotten the better of Chairwolf. I think two really good rides here. Alias was just a little bit too strong in the end, but Chairwolf looped them. J-Mac got it into a pretty decent position from barrier 13, but Alias has just been a little bit too strong here. Ran a rating of 101.3, so Chairwolf regresses a little bit. Chairwolf will go back in trip to 1600 meters for the Epsom. We found that out today. And Alias, I'm hoping it goes to the Metrop, but there is a chance it goes to Wait for Age races, then into a Caulfield Cup.
I thought Chairwolf should have won the race. It got carried wide around the turn, and that was the difference between it winning and losing. McDonald did a good job of getting it into a winnable spot from gate 13, but.
You reckon he should have ridden for luck on the corner?
No, I'm not saying
just,
he was...
Just pulled him out too wide.
No, I don't think it was his fault at all. I think it was just... Right. That's just how it happened. Yeah, it was just, you know, that he got caught. Like, he had to go around him while Elias sort of kicked clear up the inside. It wasn't his fault at all. It was just how it happened. He's run home in really fast splits and, he'll drop back to the Epsom and... he'll have to be competitive in that. I don't even know what even is going to the Epsom. It's fallen away with all the
Celestial Legend will improve up and trip.
Yeah, but he was playing first up. I thought like that was a bad first up run.
You'll have horses like Tom Kitten going there. It wasn't
great. That race went awful. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We have been able to secure $15 for Chairwolf at the sixth day today once the news dropped. So thank you, Joe Pride, for tweeting that out. And I just happened to be on Twitter when he did it. So that was beautiful. Well, there's a good chance he does start favorite if Celestial Legend doesn't do anything this weekend. What do you think about Alias? We've had this conversation before about horses just winning the Group 1 that they should go and win. But there is some sort of talk that they could go Turnbull into a Caulfield Cup because they want to avoid the Caulfield Cup penalty. I'm biased. I absolutely hate it because I've got $7 for this horse and now he's probably a $2.50 chance.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on, it's gross. But with 50 kilos, he's right in the mix for a Caulfield Cup. And like we said earlier, this year's Caulfield Cup is wide open. And there's no internationals to worry about. So if he does, he probably gets in with 50, I'd say. I don't know, I haven't looked at the norms, but just guessing, I'd say probably gets 50. So
I think he's just over. I think he's 51, 51 and a half.
Yeah, like he's completely, he's really well weighted. So he'd probably almost have to be, he'd probably second, third favorite off the back of that. It's a good win, but yeah, I don't think he wins a Turnbull, but that's not what they want to do. But can you go, the Metrop's a handicap, so that'll give him like a extra kilo if he wins it. But
yeah,
I mean, they may as well.
That's what they don't want, but just go and win a Group One and pay the believers.
Yeah, well, I mean, I see what they're doing because it's a tricky one because you want to win any Group One, but no, if you're getting with 51 in such an open year with no internationals coming for a Caulfield Cup, like, and he's running this sort of number, so I mean, I see what they're doing.
I backed Cheerwolf on Saturday and I left the race thinking I'd lost the battle, but we'll win the war with Elias in the Metrop. And then I heard that he might not even be going there and it's sick. Just instant vomit, like projectile.
Allegron was good, by the way. Made a nice return. Allegron's little sister, half-sister, made its debut on Friday. I think it ran last, so it's not quite as good as Allegron. But
there's a 2,600-meter race on Everest Day that Land Legend won last year. Maybe you can go to that.
I think it's the St. Ledger or something. They didn't go as quick as what the margin spread throughout the field would suggest. El Bodegon went a lot better than what the margin suggests. He's beaten 11 lengths, but he went better than what...
Stop it.
Just saying. Adelaide River was awful, but, you know, I thought he was good first up and he hasn't done anything. Athabascan is a cheeky Metrop horse. Yeah, let's move on.
I agree with that last point. Athabascan is a cheeky chance in the Metrop as well.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the Bill Ritchie handicap, 1400 meters, Group 3. Mikhail has been able to take this out with a perfect suck run ride by Rachel King for Chris Waller. I just want to send out a little kudos. I'm sure he doesn't watch this program, but Brad Gray, Sydney tipster, actually tipped this horse at 90-1 earlier on in the week on form line. Oof. So big hat tip to Mikhail. To Mikhail as well, but to Brad Gray.
He won the race.
Yeah, hat tip to Mikhail, but also to Brad Gray. If you back Gringotts, well, gee, that was a little bit sick. It's been beaten a whisker. Felix Majestic in third and Kintyre in fourth. This race has gone pretty awful, Bob.
Oh, mate, I don't think I've ever seen a Group 3 rate as badly. I saw a couple people on this horse, which is, you know, it was well backed. It was, you know, it was like you said, it was 91s into 34 Betfair. But it sprinted well, but this race is just fucking awful. Like these horses go to the Epsom, and you know you've got horses here that have reputations. It was such a weird race as well because they went so slow early, and some of the horses were like 4 and 5 wide because the jockeys just didn't know what to do. It was a really weird race to watch. It was a bit of a car crash. You know, there's a lot of horses here with reputations, like Tom Kitten. You know, he was massive first up, and I mean, he got a long way back here, but geez, he's a long way off his form, and it's no good. Amenable was shit. Gringotts.
Freedom Rally, terrible.
Oh, yeah. Freedom Rally was awful. This cannot be the Epsom form. Like a horse like Tom Kitten, I wouldn't be surprised if he bounced back because he can do a number. Like he's done it in the past, but fuck, this race has gone so bad.
Yeah.
And I'd be surprised if it's the form you want to take into the Epsom.
Another word of warning for the punters. Gringotts is into $9 for the Epsom. and he is well down the order of entry. So I'd probably have to check the ratings, but he was down in the 60s, 70s, I think, in the order of entry for the Epsom. So he's ran second here. He should get a few points up for that, but just be really mindful with some of these handicap races with so many nominations, you know, your Caulfield Cups, your Epsoms, your Turacs, because ratings points are going to come into it big time. And if you're having all-in bets on horses that are well down the order, well, that is the easiest way to burn your cash. All right. Speaking of burning cash, that is what the Tab traders did on this horse, because they made Autumn Glow their lay of the day in the Dali T Rose, 1400 meter group two for the 3-year-old fillies. I think as soon as J-Mac went forward from barrier eight and settled it OSL outside lead to Manal, who has never led in its life, I think Tim Ryan probably would have been having nightmares. She's ran a rating of 99.2 here, winning, which is quite similar to what she's been doing, but I think she can elevate a little bit up to 1600 meters. Snow in May half missed a start and came along the inside. It was really, really good and a watch run. But yeah, what'd you make of Autumn Glow's performance here?
Yeah, I thought it was good. Like they, I think so. Like yes, she led and she won in a sit sprint, but I still think that doesn't suit her. I think what she wants is a test, and what she's been able to do is, you know, it's a testament to how good she is, because this definitely didn't suit her, and she was able to sprint hard enough to fend the speedier fillies off. You know, they'll step out to a mile next time, and if they send her straight to the front and like put the foot down from the 800, she will smash them. Snow and May was good. No, she's coming off nothing. She was really well back. She was 50s into, what did she jump? I don't even know. Like 22. So she, bet fair, she was softish, but like late. But she was well supported throughout the week. Yeah. Really, really big splits. She's by the Autumn Sun from a C Uni mare. She's quite well bred. So she can continue to improve. And she'll improve up again to a mile. I'd say she's probably the biggest danger to the Autumn Glow. But again, if
everyone calls her the Autumn Glow, yeah, even I call her that. But yeah, it is just Autumn Glow. They should have called her the Autumn Glow.
I know, it's annoying. but yeah, what they really need to do with her is just make it as hard as possible, and she'll thrive on it and she'll smash them. I was surprised how soft Amina was. I think everyone knew it was going to be a really slowly run race, and she was going to go back to last, which is I'd almost guarantee you that's why it's happened. But she's jumped 14s in like. You know, if I was betting, I'd be backing her at 14s, regardless of where she was going to sit on the map. But yeah, anyway, is more it, territory.
I know this is a map as well, but I think this is a little bit of just how much the market clings on to James McDonald, who has been riding Amina its last few starts, now jumps onto Autumn Glow, and all of a sudden it is friendless. I know it drew out, but if J-Mac was on Amina, there is no way it starts $14 BSP.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, like, If J-Mac's not on Autumn Glow, then it probably doesn't go forward as well, because he's the only one that's got enough balls to ride them forward regardless. Yeah.
Well, he rode the quaddy, which we haven't even mentioned yet.
Yeah, I know. but yeah, no change of tactics notification for this, which is, you know, they'll say that, you know, she jumped so well, what are we going to do? But
no, it was always his plan.
It was always going to fucking happen. He knew exactly what he was doing. Yeah. So,
and I loved it.
Yeah. Well, like, fuck. Just if you're going to have the rule, officiate it properly. I don't want to get into it, but right. just get rid of the rule for fuck's sake. It's not even a rule.
Bot goes bang. Let's move on to race eight. It was the Seven Stakes, $1 million, 1600 meter race. Of course, this was the old George Main. The George Main has moved to Everest A, which is now the King Charles, worth 5 million Group 1 status. So this is not a Group 1 race, but it is the replacement for the old George Main date. Fangirl was a little bit unlucky in this race last year, just got way too far back, and she has redeemed herself here. It wasn't by any means a good addition of the race, but she's got back a long way off a slow tempo, and it wasn't easy to make ground, and she's let rip with some good sections. She's run to 101.4, so improves on her last start rating. My Oberon was really, really solid. He'll go to an Epsom. He'll be near the top of the weights in an Epsom, but we know he's run well on a Donny before. Royal Patronage third, Detonator Jack fourth, and Major Bill I thought was also pretty good. I know I got a soft time of it, and it won't get that going forward too much, but it was the one that I thought if it can get to into an Epsom, it was 101-1 around during the week, and I had something small on.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's gone. The race isn't rated well, but she wasn't set up to run the rating she can. She's won comfortably enough, but I sort of just half wonder, like, she... I've heard people say she almost died after the injury she had. I don't know how much of that is true, but, you know, she's... The first up run sort of said she was fine. She just got put in an awkward spot. And like, she's run really good splits here, but, you know, I'm not... If I was betting wherever she was going next, and I'm not quite sure where that is, I wouldn't be giving her 105, which she can do based on this. I would temper that and give her maybe 103. So, I'm just a little... I'm not necessarily worried about her, but I'm just questioning whether can she get back to her 105 that she's done, you know, when she's at her best.
And on seat one, sorry, you go.
It's like my Oberon's like sort of getting, like, she was soft on the line, whatever, but my Oberon was sort of getting there the last sort of 100 meters. I don't know. So if she comes up against Pride of Jenny, the best, if Via Sustain is on bright side, I don't know. I don't know where we see her next, and hopefully she can elevate to that, just go bang. And it's hard to say because we've only seen her in two really slow run races this prep, but it's hard to be.
She'll go straight to a King Charles, I think, which is 4 weeks between runs. The only other option is the Epsom, which there's no way Chris Waller will run this mare with whatever 57, 58 kilos and an Epsom. So I reckon she'll be 4 weeks between runs. She'll go to the King Charles. She'll face off with Pride of Jenny. And while I am seat 1A in the Fangirl fan club, I think Pride of Jenny might be one of the best bets of the weekend when they come up against each other, because I thought this was her race and she was good. She was solid. But as you said, she ran that massive 105 last spring in that King Charles. She was able to sit a little bit closer and she had a slowly run race, massive turn of foot. That's her circumstances. I just think if Pride of Jenny's ripping along in front and she's got 10 lengths to chase her and she's chasing from a long way out, she might just struggle.
Yeah. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happens. Just because she's had that injury too.
Do think this is the form race for the Epsom though. My Oberon runs 100.5. Royal Patronage runs 99.4. Detonator Jack 99.1. And Major Bill 98.9. So, you know, the likes of Major Bill is going to be well down the weights if he's able to get in. Royal Patronage and My Oberon, I think they've got sort of 55, 56. And Detonator Jack will be down on 54. The market is actually telling you right now that the Bill Ritchie Gringotts is shorter than some of these other runners, My Oberon and Detonator Jack. And I just think that's crazy.
What do you know what happened to Zugotcha?
In this race? She was just poor.
Well, she was
awful.
I mean, she was $4 out to $7.40, so it kind of stinks. Like, she's $4, $7.40. Like, I don't know, maybe she was going off in the yard or something. I'm not sure, but she was, you know, the market knew all about it. She was awful.
She sat on speed on a slow tempo and she faded out very quickly. So I don't know. Alarm bells there for me.
Shorts.
IME has been able to take out the Group 2 1100 meter feature. So she goes back to back, the Concord and the Shorts. Surely she gets an Everest slot this year. She, of course, won the Sydney Stakes last year worth $2 million, but surely she gets a dance in the big one this year. Steffi Magnetica, she was awesome. Rattling home into second was a little bit unlucky as well. Then you had Marzu and Dragonstone third and fourth. So IME has basically repeated its last start figure, running to 102. She will need to elevate to win an Everest, but no doubt she deserves a spot.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, she's run her rating here, and she's good. This is as good as she can possibly go. And it's like what I said last week, it doesn't... Any horse can run any distance. The only thing that matters is how fast you can run it. Like, I think she gets 12. She ran 14. But the only thing that really matters is how fast she can run it, and she can't run fast enough to beat the horses that she'll be up against in Everest. She's a genuine Group 2 horse. Like, she's just that, like, the slightest bit off the best of them, and she can capitalize. She's good enough to win these Group 1s, and she'll probably win a Group 1. She might have even won one before. I'm not 100% sure. I don't think she has, actually. But, you know, wouldn't be surprised me at all if she knocks off a Group 1 eventually. But she's just that slight bit off what is a Group 1 horse. And, you know, she gets 14. She ran really well in last year's, Rupert Clark.
I think Magic Time beat her. She ran second.
Yeah. Steffi Magnetic has run a new peak. She just keeps getting better. I'm really excited about her. She's by Midsummer Music, who won a Stradbroke and was good behind Black Caviar a couple of times, her mum. And she keeps getting better. Their splits were good and she was held up a little bit. Marzu was back to his sort of somewhere near his best. Mumbai Muse sort of returned to her typical form, or a little bit better than what she typically does. I think she was held up slightly as well. Private Eye was the eye-catching run and, you know, got too far back. Lady of Camelot.
Does he get a slot off this?
He's got it. He's running the race a couple times.
I know. I would give him one, but like some slot holders are probably still thinking, beaten margin, whatever else. But surely 1,200 meters high pressure. He's proven, even though he has finished sort of down the placings here. Mm. Yeah, he's too good for a Sydney stake. Surely he gets his place.
Yeah, he'd have to. I wouldn't be anywhere near favourite or in it, but he'd make up the numbers and he'd be a live shot in it. I thought it was interesting how soft Lady Camelot was. She almost jumped 20s, which is, you know, we sort of said that during the week. She was so poorly weighted that she's like she was 5.5 kilos above weight for age. You know, she should have got 50.5 in this race if the race was if she was weighted how she would be at weight for age. So I didn't think there was much wrong with the way she went. She sort of just ran the rating she did first up, and I'd sort of have some query over whether she has improved as a 3-year-old. So she might just be, this might just be her, but, you know, she's sort of like, she finished midfield in a Group 2 race carrying way more than what she should have. So it's not the worst thing in the world. They've got, they can pick off some nice races with her. She's not going to get back to her winning Group 1s, I wouldn't imagine, but she'll be a nice mare and she'll be off to stud in like a year or so. So
yeah. All right. Is that everything wrapped up?
I think so.
All right, let's get to some questions then, and we'll hurry through these because I've got to go very soon. Coops Owen, we know he's very good at asking questions, and he's got 3 of them here. He might even have another one on Twitter. I'll have to check that. But the Instagram questions first. Who should ride another wheel in the Toorak? Sounds like J-Mac will get the ride. So is Jamie suspended for...
Yeah, she's suspended now to like, I don't even know when, but she won't be riding for Caulfield that day, for Toorak day. She's not going to ride. Like, I mean, if you can get J-Mac, you put J-Mac on. It's that simple. Like, he's the best rider in the... I don't know if Blake... Will Blake Shin be there?
Ten meetings, yeah. That's only like a week. That's 10 meetings is only 13 days. So I'm sure he'll be able to ride it if they want him. Yeah. Is J-Mac even in Victoria?
I don't know. If you can get J-Mac, but then you put J-Mac on. Oh, it's on Caulfield Guineas Day, so yes, he'll be riding.
Yeah, he'll be here. Yeah, yeah. So that's the Hill Stakes. If you can get J-Mac, wow. What does another wheel even get in the Toorak? Probably 54 kilos?
Something like that.
something like that. And yeah, Max Bet. Coop says, Ben, will they be serving Mexican food at the Valley on Friday? Is this another question directed at you?
Yeah.
What's the joke?
Doesn't matter. Move on.
All right, move on. He's no fun. Boring. Is Jimmy Starr a better sprinter or is he a better sprinter or miler? I reckon 1,400 metres.
Yeah, 14. Rupert Clark. He's going to win the Rupert Clark this year.
Rupert Clark. There's $11 in the Rupert Clark on sports bet. I would love a little bit better than that, but I'll see. $11 and $3.50 the place. Stu says, hi, Will. Positivity says hello and wants to know if immediacy has finished yet.
Shut up.
To be fair to Stu, he has been tipping up this horse for some time.
Yeah, he was all over it in South Adelaide. I mean, South Australia.
South Adelaide.
Yeah.
Port Lincoln. Harry King's thoughts on any Australian Derby runners? I think this means VRC Derby. I'm gonna go with VRC Derby, which is the spring version.
Well, there was the spring Derby preview yesterday at Flemington, which I went to the races yesterday, and I don't know
a nerd with your fucking Form King on the laptop in the Flemington working members.
Yeah. I wouldn't take. I don't know. I honestly don't know. There's nothing that's sort of nothing obvious anyway at this point. I don't know.
For the Henline Derby, for the Freemans, I think he just wants further now.
I don't know if he wants a mile and a half though. Like
maybe not a mile and a half, but they're going to the Spring Champion, I think, the 2,000 meter one. So
maybe they just push it to the Derby, but you know, I don't know. There's nothing I have seen that has sort of screamed Derby at me, but you know, heating up a bit.
But yeah, he's my staying 3-year-old type anyway. Ryan, how much do we think Steffi Magnetica needs to improve to be competitive in an Everest? Similar prep to think about it last year. It looks like she would love every bit of a strongly run 1,200 metres at Randwick. She probably only needs to improve a length and a half to be competitive in an Everest.
Not a whole lot. You know, yeah, not a whole lot. I don't think she needs to make that much of an improvement to, you know, and like the Stradbroke's proved as an enormous form line in the last couple of years. Like think about it, won it last year. Alligator Blood won it. Who won it 2 years ago? Was that Alligator Blood? I don't know. Anyway, it's been a good form line the last couple of years. It's good to race your horses up there instead of sitting in a paddock. So it'll only do her good, and she keeps improving. So, yeah, she can be competitive in an Everest 100%.
Yeah, and that was 1,100 metres on the weekend, so she'll be better over 12. That was from Ryan Portelli. Good question. Chris, the caster, says early bets for the final. I'm assuming this means the AFL grand final. What are your thoughts, Bot? For me, the heart says Brisbane. I would love to see Brisbane win a flag. Played a bit of footy with Cam Rayner growing up.
He was enormous to see him on Saturday. Mate,
he's an absolute machine. He's always been that good. It would be so good to see him win a flag. The head says Sydney is a deserving favourite, and I actually think they'll start shorter than $1.75, but I'm cheering Brisbane.
I honestly don't really care who wins it this year. Like, I don't have a...
Oh, that is such a bot answer.
I don't really have much of an opinion on either team.
Like, no. Chookster, do you think the Sydney 3-year-olds are better than Melbourne's growing We need a bit of grammar here. We need an apostrophe somewhere. Growing Empire hasn't beaten much. I still think he's Melbourne's best 3-year-old, but a Storm Boy and Traffic Warden better. Was Private Eye the run of the weekend? So lots of questions in this one sentence. It's a very long, long sentence. What do you think of, firstly, the sprinters? I think I'm going to say Growing Empire is the best 3-year-old sprinter out of anyone.
Well, I mean, he hasn't done the big rating, but I still think it's coming.
It could be coming on Friday night.
He is accepting apparently, so that'd be very exciting. And you know, racing fast horses will set him up really well to race other fast horses.
Of the Caulfield Guineas Brigade, I do think it is still Sydney on top, and I wouldn't be going away from broadsiding, really.
No. I think. Yeah, I won't get off topic. Anyway, we've got to finish. Ben's got places to be.
Broadsiding could run top four this week, and I still think he's going to improve and win the Caulfield Guineas. Yeah. Coop says, does it make sense that Jamie Carr has got 3 weeks for not giving her ride the best chance of winning by being cautious in testing conditions, but Shin only gets 10 meetings for nearly driving a horse into the rail and potentially injuring the jockey?
Yeah, I
this is a fair question.
I was literally thinking that before. Like, it seems like, I mean, and it's not a good look for racing, which is another thing for Jamie. But I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I think the difference between the two is that Shin is trying to win the race by what he's doing, and Jamie isn't trying to win the race. And I think that's where the stewards get really, really picky with these things, because there is a lot of money on the line, owners, trainers, breeders, punters. And if you've got a jockey who potentially isn't taking a gap and riding their mount out, then that's not giving everyone their best chance of winning a race. Blake Shin was trying to do the best by his horse by blocking another horse, but it was incredibly reckless and he could have caused injury. So it is a fair question, and my answer is probably wrong, but that is just something to consider as well. Punters and Collectors says, do you think Angel Capital will be good enough to beat the Sydney horses in the Caulfield Guineas?
Well,
quick, like, yes or no, Bot? No. Quick yes or no.
Not favoured to, but he can.
Okay. Yes, he can. I'm going to say no, he can't. James, has Positivity got any in a Caulfield Cup? No. Is Buckaroo from Boom punting? Is Buckaroo a top 10 horse in Australia?
Yes.
I put out a tweet the other day. Was it yesterday? I said sentences I never thought would come out of my mouth. Buckaroo is absolutely the danger to Mr. Brightside in the Might and Power if the two of them end up going there. Bot is saying he should go to a Caulfield Cup, and I probably aren't too against that. Whether he's better at 2,000 metres and 2,400 metres, I don't know, but he's really well weighted with 54.5 kilos. And if he runs to 103 in a Caulfield Cup with 54.5, then...
They won't see which way he went.
He wins. All right, let's wrap it up there, Bot. We've done well to keep it to an hour with lots of good racing. We'll be back here on Wednesday night. Yes, Merry Christmas, punters. You get an early preview podcast because we've got the Betfair function spring launch party on Thursday, and then I've got a busy night on Friday for the Manicato. So we'll have the Manicato field out tomorrow, Tuesday barrier draw, 5 p.m., and we'll have the acceptances out on Wednesday. So we'd have to do a bit of form with nominations. And yeah, hopefully we can tip some winners on Wednesday. Cheers, guys. It's been in my rhyme. Stay on the road, so I call my mama when I got time. I hit the stage, go insane, then jump into that crowd.